It's Wednesday, the 22nd of November, and you're listening to the Red Army Roundup. I'm your host, Paul Hinton, and as ever, I'm joined by Sean Phillips and Aaron Wren. Hello there, gents.
Hello there, Paul.
Evening, Paul.
Apologies first off for missing last week. The only day we were all available to record was Wednesday, and after watching the Dundee game, we were a little bit grumpy and decided not to record. I can't say that our mood has improved following this weekend, but time being a healer and all that, we're probably slightly less grumpy than we were Sunday evening. So what we did miss before we recorded, Devils went over to Belfast on the Saturday, ran out comfortable 3-0 victors. I think probably the first time we've ever shut Belfast out in Belfast. And then absolutely annihilated Edinburgh 7-2 in what was probably less competitive than Mark Richardson's testimonial game. it was awful. And then we went to Dundee, and it was 6 wins on the bounce we were at, and everyone was feeling great. Going up to Dundee to pick up your 2 points against 14 skaters. Sean, what happened?
We didn't want to play. We didn't want to win the game. We didn't look like ourselves. Just didn't get going. Didn't get off the plane for whatever reason. Dundee beat us to all the battles. They took their chances well. And we just didn't look like we had a will to win. We didn't get going. We were all chatting amongst ourselves during the game. And we just didn't come out. We just came out and didn't look like the team that had been playing together for the last however many months. We just looked a completely different side.
Yeah, I think that more than sums it up. And it was interesting. I think, I can't remember exactly when, I haven't got it in front of me, when Dundee went 3-1 up, but with about 10 minutes left, it was early in the third. But with 10 minutes left, I was watching thinking, last season, I think pretty much we've got this. Just like you knew the will to win was in the team, but never got that feeling during that game. And right, it proved you're right. Not to say the Devils didn't have pressure, but just thought that even with the wins that we've had, I just felt that there's that little bit missing in going into a game and you're really getting a win from something that you shouldn't do. And well, Devils didn't. Dundee hit the post on an empty net chance, but finished 3-1 and an all round disappointing game. Cardiff then welcomed Fife on Saturday. And, well, the first period, Aaron put behind the woes of Dundee and sort of came out absolutely flying and took a 5-1 lead. And, well, I asked Sean what happened in Dundee. I'm going to ask you the harder question. What happened, Aaron?
I don't know. I think it just went all downhill fast, really. Drew Parris took a penalty. Game penalty, and I think from that point on we lost our bottle and it went all downhill. Fife come straight back into the game with a five minute penalty, scored a couple of goals. You know, I think by the end of the game we went Fife went 6-7 on the power play, and we just looked out of it and didn't want to play anymore. Heads dropped, and it was a long night from that penalty onwards, and I didn't enjoy one single bit, to be honest.
Crazy, you know, seeing, obviously, I said we were 5-1 up. When you're 5-1 up at the 30-minute stage, it's not like you've blown someone away for 5 minutes. It's half the game. As Aaron said, that Drew Parris penalty, that the turning point, that 3 goals going in. I think one was on a 5-on-3 as well. Dundee had done it as well. Fife had 5-on-3 opportunities through the game and converted on all of them, and scored 6 goals on 8 power play chances all in all, which is not great for the special teams. Even after that 5-minute penalty was killed, Devils still lead in 5-4. And managed to see out the last 5 minutes of the second. And then on the power play, Sean, less than 2 minutes into the third, Justin Farina gets the the sixth and what I thought the decisive goal, put a 6-4 up, settled those nerves, and I thought that was going to see us through, but everything went wrong. That's particularly the shorthanded goal scored by Bloodoff, like with maybe 6 minutes gone in the third. You're giving up breakaways on the power play when you're two goals up. And not only did we do that to let him score, I think on the same power play, we gave up another breakaway chance, still on the same power play. Sean, was it just a complete mental collapse for you?
The worst collapse I've seen a Dallas team ever experienced. I have never seen us lose. Like, I've seen some comebacks, but that was just, I don't even think that was a five comeback. That was just the devil's self-destruct. I just don't know. What, like you said, I thought, I was quite disappointed by Fife originally, and I thought that, you know, they would have offered us a bit more and of a game, and going into the third period, I was actually sort of a bit more upbeat, thinking, well, at least we've got a bit of a game here. Maybe it'll put, you know, spark us into actually showing that we can't, you know, get too arrogant about these things. And then we scored that insurance run. I thought, okay, it's going to be plain sailing. We've learned from the mistake. We shouldn't have let them in that early. Let's just close the game out, and it's 2 points as routine. And it just didn't happen. We just got worse and worse and worse. And when you say what went wrong, it's fair to say that just nothing went right.
Yeah, you carried on, not majorly, but you gave up another 5-on-3 penalty in the third, which was one of the goals that got Fife back into it. But it's just that there isn't one thing that you can point your finger at. Well, there is one thing you can point your finger at, because you said nothing went right. But Andrew Hotham, in amongst all of the woefulness, was outstanding. He had a great first period when he got a goal, got an assist. I was just waiting for him to have a fight. And then when he got his second goal, I was waiting for him to score a goal and then just drop the glove straight away to get his Gordie Howe and his goals hat trick. But, you know, he was brilliant even when things started going wrong. He was trying to shore it up. He was trying to get the goals when they were needed. And literally, it's as quick as that, I think, to talk about what went well in the game. I'd like to think we'll never talk about throwing away a 5-1 lead again. So we went to Nottingham on Sunday with, I thought that we were probably going to turn up. Type of thing. You've got to bounce back from. Probably fair to say that we did. Aaron, a good Devils performance. You saw us leading 3-2 at the end of the second period.
Yeah, I was really pleased and confident. You know, the first period, we come out, we played hard, we played, you know, the game we've been playing all season pretty much. And halfway through, Gleeson Fournier goes coast to coast and rockets a shot just after the blue line and 5-all and just trickles over the line. And I went a bit crazy because, you know, it's a typical Fournier goal. You've done it a few times for us and it was beautiful. And second period, kind of the same thing. We conceded an early goal. Heads dropped a little bit, conceded another one, but we come back into it. Matt Pope hit. I can't remember the goal, to be honest, but he scored another one. And Hotham scored a booty backhand top shelf just before the end of the period, and we was 3-2 up. And I was really, really confident that we was going to do something good out of this and come away with a win. But yeah, I'm not going to talk about it anymore.
And yeah, we'd gone a goal behind in the second, and we'd managed to turn it back around to get the win. And I thought that was, I worried when Jan Suave got the second Nottingham goal, Sean. I thought that, memories of the Fife game had come back, and as Aaron said, your heads dropped a little bit after the first goal. But then maybe our heads would go and we'd be in for a similar situation. But getting those two goals to lead 3-2 at that time, I really thought, oh, we've, whatever it was yesterday, we're over it. We've scored a couple. And then another third period. Matthew Gagnon gets his first goal of the season. Players always, like, I think McGrattan got his first goal against us. There's a list of players who don't score who always seem to find the net against us for the first time. Gagnon got a goal to tie it up, less than 2 minutes in. But, you know, with only 6 minutes left, the score was tied. It was 3-3. And in those 6 minutes, we managed to lose the game 7-4. With three of those Nottingham goals coming in that less than 2.5 minutes. Less than 2.5 minutes. It was the same thing again, Sean, for me. Defensive frailties, do you agree?
Yeah, completely. We just completely lost our heads. All through the course of last year, we were building good leads up and holding them out and playing well. You know, we were good at playing with a lead. You know, we weren't a team that chased games and snatched wins. We were grinding out wins, and we just have completely lost that ability.
Yeah. There's one thing I think is we know about Andrew Lord as a coach is that he's happy to pull a goalie early. But Aaron, for you, with nearly 4 minutes left and only two goals behind and going on a power play, for you, is that too early to be pulling your goalie?
Yeah, 100%. You know, like you said, we was on the power play, maybe not this weekend, but the last couple of weekends the power plays worked quite well for us. You know, we could run systems well, and I think as soon as we took Ben out of the net, I think panic set in a little bit, and I think it was always going to happen. You know, we play a stupid pass into the slot, gets turned over, and Eric Lindhagen, who I think is the elite league's version of Carl Hagelin, goes on a tear and slots it home for him, and that is literally game over. There was no coming back from that, and I do think it was a really poor decision. 4 minutes left on your own power play. You know, if it were, it's just not worth the risk with two goals. You know, you got 4 minutes, you're on a power play. We are capable of scoring on a power play, and you know, we could have left it until a minute and a half was left, or maybe less, and then pulled Ben and hope for the best. But you know,
yeah. And the one thing with always pulling your goalie on the empty net is that obviously teams can take pot shots at your net without worrying about the icing, which is always it's not a risk. But it's a negative for it. And I know that's not how they scored. It was only 14 seconds after the power play that Lindhagen got his goal. And as you mentioned, Aaron, the pass from behind the net was just one of the most stupid things. You think you've got 6-on-4. You're going to cycle, get behind the net and just throw it straight at the slot. It was so stupid. But I don't know, a little bit of faith in the power play. And if we'd have scored that in the 2 minutes, you've still got 2 minutes left to find one goal. And yeah, go empty net for the 2 minutes. We did score on that power play through Lane Olmer, but obviously all that did over that 2 minute period was cancel out the Lindhagen goal, and still two behind, and Robert Farmer. Well, Devils took a 2 minute penalty, drew Paris with less than 2 minutes left, so the game was pretty much done then. Went empty net to get it back at 5-on-5, and Farmer scored. It was an interesting, it's just an interesting weekend. I was going to ask you what was wrong, but I feel like all we've asked is what was wrong. Everything. I think it just seems to be running through the team. As you said, I don't know if Lord would have made that decision. Well, there's the question: would Lord have made that decision to pull Bounds on that power play if we hadn't have done what we did the night before?
Yes.
Fair enough. It seemed more bold than I would have expected.
It's just so Andrew Lord down two goals at that stage of the game. Like, we've seen it before. I think that's just so...
I don't think that's Andrew Lord. Andrew Lord usually plays safe.
I feel like it's always been like a three-goal game, and we've pulled goalies. Like, it was in Nottingham last year on a midweek game in February with three goals down, and but you pulled Bounds with 5 minutes left in Belfast in the playoffs before. But a two-goal game with 4 minutes, to me, is just... That's not a game that's gone, you know. It's, you to that Sheffield game.
But then, that is a fair point. But then is that a sign that your team is that short of confidence and that flat out of ideas and character that you don't believe that he can do it without that extra man at that stage?
But I don't think...
That's what I mean. That's what I mean, that we weren't out of form. Obviously, we lost up in Dundee, but we were six wins on the bounce. Everyone was quite happy. That one game, has that clouded his judgment that much? Because the special teams had started clicking as well, as Aaron said. As one game sort of played on his mind that much, that he's made that decision that our power play can't get it done in 2 minutes. We've got to make it a 6-on-4. For me, I think it's a bit of an issue there, and I'd like to have seen a bit of faith in that. Even if we went for a minute of the power play, and if he really wants to gamble, spend the second minute 6-on-4, it just seemed a very, almost a knee-jerk response to the night before, to me. And a bit of a concern that, you know, we're talking about mental frailties, and if that's coming right the way through, it's not just the players on the ice, of which Lord is one anyway. If it's affecting the decision making as well, then it's difficult to see where you can snap out of it. How are you going to put it right? What a lovely cheery note to end on. there wasn't a cheery note to be found though. Whatever we ended on, it was not going to be cheery. Let's do a player of the week, something a little bit positive. Sean, who gets your vote?
Andrew Hoffman.
Aaron?
Yeah, I agree. I don't think anyone played much better than Hoffman this weekend. Scored a couple of booty goals, nearly had a hat-trick in the first period against Fife. You know, I think he's the one player you could rely on to try and turn things around. And I did think he tried really hard this weekend. I just don't think he had buy-in from the rest of the team, to be honest.
I couldn't win more. It's Andrew Hotham. Everything Aaron just said. A really strong weekend, and I think let down by the majority of the players around him. Right, social media time. Sean, fire up the Twitter.
I am indeed firing up the Twitter. Thank you for the burning questions. We did have a couple from last week, which obviously due to the fact we didn't get an episode done, we've carried a couple of those over. So, the first Ramite that we had was Jason Manley for this week. He put in brackets, hopefully the hashtag Grumpfest has finished. I don't think it has, but we've carried our energy into a very negative episode so far. But Jason's Ramite was good. The new anti-flag album, bad, no hockey in the last week. He's chosen to ignore the previous three games as it would be more pleasurable to rub himself down in a mix of deep heat and Imac than relive the memories.
It's a mental image that I could be honest, I didn't want, but now I've got it. May never lose it. So thank you for that, Jason.
Jason also went on to say that after last week there was a cold comfort. There's now an all-time Aaron shaped hole in his life this week due to the fact we didn't have an episode. I think you got yourself an admirer there, Aaron.
Totally. No party.
Okay, moving swiftly on to burning questions. First off, and which player from around the league would you pick? And that was asked by... Sorry, I'm going back in my mentions. No, that was asked by Michael Brain. No, it wasn't. Excuse me.
Oh, it was well.
Michael Brain had two burning questions. So, yeah, out of all the players you've seen this season so far from other clubs, which would you like to pull on a Devil's jersey? Paul?
My initial thought was Brett Pelini. He's a Brit who's, played at a massively high level. But obviously bringing him in, I don't know what... You'd move on. But if not Brett Pelini, I'd say Matthew Gagnon. I think we're lacking something. And he's as tough as they come. He's entertaining. And from what I've seen of him, he can skate. He can play a little bit. He's not an out and out goon. And he doesn't look off the pace when we've played against Nottingham. So he's massively popular there. And I think that type of figurehead player would really fit in well. Well, would be really good for this team.
Didn't want to fight Tyson Strachan on Sunday, though.
No, that was interesting. I was quite surprised at that, because Strachan's got a good fight card, but not a good win-loss record on his fight card. So I don't know whether it was like he was told not to fight. There was a reason not to, but yeah, didn't look interested.
Aaron?
I'd pick Carl Ackard from, I think he plays for Guildford. A good D-man. He puts a lot of points up, scores. You know, he's running at almost a point and a half a game. And I know we've scored a couple of goals and points this weekend, but I think the way that he worked the power play when they come down to us a couple of weeks ago was something nothing short of special. And I just think he's a really good pickup for Guildford, and I think there's probably one or two D-men I'd swap out of our team and slot him straight in. Whether it's a good fit, I don't know, but stats-wise and his ability, I don't see why he wouldn't. So, and he has a bullet of a shot as well.
Okay. Mine would have been Jordan County from Dundee. Based on the fact, Paul, you mentioned about Brits, Jordan County's an under-23. I really liked his performance when we played up against Dundee on both occasions. I think he's fast, still really young, and has a lot of potential. And so that would have been my pick.
Good shout. I think in general, and obviously with Craig Moore looking to be out for an extended period of time, it gets us back to having enough skaters to run proper four lines. So I think that's good shout. Let's sign the three of those and see how the season finishes. That's we'll drop an email to the club. What's up next, Sean?
Another one from Michael Brain. What do you think about the Challenge Cup format just announced? Paul, this was announced earlier last week regarding the fact that the teams who topped their group would have the pick of their
draw. Yeah, pick of the draw. I think it's really good. I like it. I think it's been done in rugby league. I'm not sure whether they've dropped it, but I know it's been done sort of in various sports in various leagues around the world, and I think it's something a little bit interesting. I think the way the Challenge Cup is set up, there's not an obvious seeding. So 1-8, whilst it does exist, we've seen it, is a bit arbitrary across three groups. So I like it. I think it'll add a little bit of spice to the games, especially if a team, you know, Sheffield is the first pick, if they don't pick the 8th seed, whoever they pick is probably going to feel a little bit hard done by, might give a little bit more of an edge to the game. I know there was the criticism around it wasn't announced early, but I know Todd said in his Q&A this week that it was decided. They haven't changed their minds. They just didn't get around to announcing it. So, yeah, I think it's really good. I think it's nice to see the league trying new things, and, yeah, really happy with it.
And Aaron?
Yeah, I think it's good. It's different. I think a couple of leagues in Europe do the similar thing. You know, it gives the winner of the league, a pick. You know, you could have a team like Sheffield who could go down and play bottom seed team and, you know, lose, or they could go for the money, to rake in some money, and they could go for Nottingham or someone who's going to bring in a big crowd. And, you know, it doesn't matter to us, because we don't get a pick, we're going to get picked. And, you know, it just gives whoever picks you thinks it's going to be an easy pick in, so it gives you that edge to go out and prove that, you know, you're not a terrible team. But so who knows? I like it though. It's different. It gives it that bit of edge to the games. It makes it a little, like, obviously it's going to be competitive. I think it's the quarterfinals, isn't it?
Yeah, the quarterfinals. I think it's a bit of a shame. There was quite a delay, because obviously there was still a couple of games to be played. It's a bit of a shame that after it was announced, there's quite a wait to do it. I think they're going to do it on the 28th of November, so it's only a week away now. Yeah, be interesting to see how that one pans out for everyone involved, especially us, obviously. Sean, next.
Next up we have one from Just my take on it as well. I completely agree with both of you on that one. I did think that they would have been better off. I'm glad you mentioned, Paul, that Todd said that it had been decided beforehand. I think that otherwise that would have been a bit... I like the idea, but I think it should have been decided on beforehand. And then that, now you said that, I'm a bit more open to the idea. But I do think it has a bit of spice. I hope they do it for the playoff games as well. I hope they do it for the playoff quarterfinals. Okay, next burning question from Tony Dickham was Hogarth right to give Drew Parris 5+ game for check to the head when we were 5-1 up? Aaron first.
Yeah, 100%. I don't think the score should affect a penalty in any way. For me, it was the right call. The hit was late. It was a high volume of contact. You know, he did hit his head on the board. And I think Hogarth took all this into consideration, and I think he made the right call. When you slow it down, or freeze frame the hit, you see that the initial contact wasn't to the head. So, but Hogarth doesn't get the advantages of that to make the call and review it, kind of thing. So it's not really fair to give him stick for making a decision when at that speed and that velocity of a hit, you know, play goes down. It was late. The puck was nowhere near the play. It was stupid late. It was a stupid hit to make. And, you know, I think it was the right call. The score shouldn't affect a decision like that. You know, if you were silly enough to take a hit like that, you take the responsibilities 5-1 up or 5-1 down. Is, you know, deal with it.
I think for me, I totally disagree. The score definitely shouldn't matter. If anything, I'd imagine a ref's probably more likely to give a 5+ game because a team's 5-1 up thinking it's not going to affect the result. A couple of reasons I disagree. There was the hit, I think, 9 seconds in on Myers from behind. Probably not a 5+ game, but it was a check from behind. That has to be a 2+10. He called roughing. I think there he did let the stage of the game influence his decision and didn't want to issue a 10-minute misconduct that early in the game. You've got to be consistent. And so the biggest reason is Dobbs said it was the wrong call, that it's not clear that contact's not to the head. Finucci turned into the hit. It was a bit late, and I'm not disagreeing it should have been a penalty. But it was a check from behind, not a check to the head. I think the fact the player stayed down, I know injuries do have an influence on the penalties, which is a whole other debate. But he stayed down for a while, yet still managed to ice his next shift, the player, Finucci. For me, it was a 2+10 hit. And I think the Dops verdict probably bears that out. They've not thrown Hogarth under the bus, and that's great to see. But, you know, There's a panel of player experts who said it wasn't that bad a hit and therefore it's not the right call. I totally understand that the game's going at speed. If there were two refs, even easier, because there's a ref who's not having to keep up with play as well as everything else. But yeah, I can't say it was the right call to give a player a 5+ game when a panel of people who know a hell of a lot more than me have said that it probably wasn't the case.
Yeah, but that panel of people, Paul, also seen the play slow down. Hogarth didn't have the chance to see the play slow down.
Whatever speed it happens, it still happened. It's still the wrong call.
Yeah, but if you look,
I understand why he made it. I'm not saying.
No, but
it's a mistake. He made a mistake.
Yeah, but if you throw a hit at full speed and it looks like a check to the head, then why not call it?
But the referee's wrong.
Yeah, but what if he didn't call it check to the head? And then Fife reviewed it and it was checking to the head. Would you be on the opposite? Like, do you see what I'm saying? Because then you would obviously jump to the other side of the fence and say Hogarth is still wrong for not making the call. But
yeah, it would be a different call and it would be the wrong call.
If you showed
something different, you're wrong.
Yeah, it's wrong, but it's a human error. Like, you can't expect him to be perfect all the time.
Yeah, no, and the question was Hogarth right?
We're now renaming this the hashtag heated discussion rather than the hashtag burning question. I'm not going to get involved. You can bicker about this afterwards.
Excellent. Thank you for the call.
Next burning question. Lewis Hawkins said, if Haddad can play in February or March, would you play him and risk injury in very important games, or would you save his fitness for next season? Paul?
I wouldn't risk fitness. I think if a player's not got a full sign-off from the doctors, clean bill of health, wouldn't put him near the ice regardless of the situation. But if he is signed off, I think we'd be foolish not to use him. If he was fit, whenever he signed off, if it's, you've always got the question, you know, I probably wouldn't bring him in for the last couple of games if he hasn't played at all since then, because he's probably not going to be able to have an impact on the game. But I wouldn't, I'd never risk the fitness of a player regardless, but I also would not play a player that was 100% if, you know, they were going to add something to the team.
Aaron?
Yeah, this time I agree with Paul. I think risking, like, even if he was 80-90%, you know, I still wouldn't risk it. I'd wait until you're fully 100%. You got it signed off. You were 100% to play, because, it only takes one awkward hit and you could be back sidelined for, could be the rest of your career. It could be another couple of weeks. It's not worth the risk. But, you know, you can't ask the question about saving someone for next year, because is a dad going to be here next year? Are we going to offer him a contract? Is he going to want to sign that contract? You know, I think most players in the elite league are always signed to usually one-year deals. So I don't think you could risk that. But then, I don't know, you can't wait, but it's definitely always better to wait until a player is 100% fit. You know, you had Jake Morissette last year, you know, he was injured, carried on playing out for the rest of the year. You had Brent Walton the year before, was playing injured, out for the rest of his career. It's definitely not worth the risk, no matter how much you want to play, it's not worth the risk. Just wait until you're fully fit. If it takes 9 months to a year, it takes 9 months to a year, wait until you're fully fit, and then you can build on your game from there. It's not worth the risk, especially after seeing it happen to two players in 2 years.
Oh, we agree. That's nice.
Love you, Paul.
I believe that's it.
All of the questions. Thank you, guys. It's excellent to have so many questions through. Just keep sending them to us. It's always great when we receive those on the notifications, because, you know, we know we've got things to talk about that you know, people are interested in. So, yeah, get them sent. It's time to look ahead. I've written down, obviously, this week's games coming up, but hadn't quite twigged that it's Fife on Saturday. surely the perfect opportunity, Sean, for the Devils, you know, coming off what happened on Saturday. I think you probably would imagine the Devils are keen to get up there and put it right. At the very least, you'd hope they would be.
Well, I think more than anything, it's, you know, a good opportunity to do a bit of soul searching more than anything. It's another lengthy trip, you know. The guys are going to be flying together, going to spend a bit of time together in the airport. You know, they'll have had a good hard week's training, and you know, I think it's a perfect place to sort of, you know, put your demons to bed and all that sort of thing. And I think that's the ideal place to do it. And we won there a couple of weeks ago. It was a good performance, a good result. And, you know, let's try and do it again and, you know, reclaim a bit of pride in that home defeat.
Any worries, Aaron, that, you know, Fife are going to be completely buzzing after it and, you know, just going to come out and hit the Devils and we'll see a repeat? Probably not. I can't imagine we'll see a repeat score, but are you a same end result?
I think Fife will have the jump on us. They'll have the confidence, you know. They know that we're a little bit down on confidence right now, so I think they're going to come out absolutely flying. But on the flip side, you know, we're down on confidence. We're going to need a pickup. So we're going to do exactly the same thing and come up flying. So it's going to be whoever scores the first goal in the third period wins the game. That's what I'm going to say. Because
don't let a team equalise in the third period. That's where it's gone wrong.
Whoever scores the first goal in the third period wins the game. So, Lord, if you're listening, game plan is do not concede in the third period. Just sit in front of the net for 20 minutes.
What an excellent game plan. It's hard to argue with that.
It's wise words.
And you're talking about wanting to use a game as an opportunity to bounce back and get revenge for a recent result. We welcome Belfast on Sunday, who are probably still smarting from the 3-0 defeat at home. Sean, you were over for that, and you know it was a very good Devils performance.
Was it? I can't remember.
I thought the blackout started just after the game for you.
No, I remember the game because I was doing live updates. We played brilliantly in that game, and with a bit of luck, we can keep Belfast at bay. I think they're going to have the very irritating little poisonous dwarf David Rutherford back in their lineup. Can't wait to see him. And it's going to be another tough test for us. We're going to travel to Fife and probably had a really hard game. And it's a good excuse to, you know, I think with it being Pride Night as well, to be proud of who we are and work hard and hopefully, again, another 2 points on the board.
Yeah, and you know, as you mentioned, it's Pride Night in association, I think, with the LGBT Cymru and Stonewall Devils with the special Pride shirts and, you know, a lot of... your promotional work has gone through the week. Can't imagine anything else but a massive crowd. And you know, it's going to be a big night, Aaron, and the type of night where you really need the team to turn up and back it up to make it all feel worthwhile, if you know what I mean. It's obviously a worthwhile cause, but it's just the icing on the cake, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I think it's a perfect chance to show what kind of club we are and how much we care about everyone, not just individual races, sexual orientation, things like that. But, you know, Belfast, they come down here a couple of weeks ago before our streak started and ended, and it didn't go to plan. That was another game we threw away, so hopefully we can rectify that game plan at home. We went up there, won 3-0. They're going to look back for some revenge, and it's going to be one of the games to watch. Belfast are a really good team. They've got one of their players who know this league inside out. He's a rink rat. He scores goals. He does everything well. It's just everyone hates him. Sean's response. Exactly. So it's going to be one of the... It's going to be the second biggest game of the weekend, put it that way. But, I'm looking forward to it. It's always good to have an occasion to celebrate. And I'm glad it's against some stiff competition. And hopefully we can come away with the 2 points and celebrate the night like it should be celebrated. Not everyone going home moaning and whingy like we've been doing last week.
Yeah, a reason for a more positive podcast would be fantastic. I really enjoyed the fact that we could play Belfast and there wasn't a Colin Lloyd or a David Rutherford in the team.
Colin Lloyd?
His name? Darryl Lloyd.
Colin Lloyd.
You remember Colin Lloyd? He was that guy who played with Darryl. Darryl Keefe. No. But you know, Belfast have always had a horrible player, Stuart before that, not even going to attempt his first name.
Greg,
that's him, that's the one. They've always had that sort of rink rat type play that Aaron said, and yeah, I think Rutherford coming back will bring that. I don't think he's been playing. I thought he'd retired.
I don't think he's been playing.
So he'll be a bit off the pace, maybe not having too many shifts and, you know, not quite up to his 100% level of, I'll use the word irritation because... We try and keep this PG. There's so many more words. So that's the show. Thank you everyone for listening. Thank you for your Rahmites and your burning questions. Get them sent in. Send them in over the weekend. We'll get them all together and we'll share them and discuss them on next week's episode. So thanks to Sean and Aaron. Thank you once again for listening. And that is your Red Army Rounder. Devon side, every single